Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is December 1, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about crypto wallet Maker Ledger hires luxury brand exec to grow consumer business. PayPal-backed identity platform acquired by Nevada's Blockchains LLC. Google searches for Bitcoin price hit 18-month high. Coinbase brokered MicroStrategy's $425 million Bitcoin purchase, exchange says. BlockFi announces early 2021 launch for Bitcoin rewards credit card. Ethereum 2.0 Beacon Chain goes live as World Computer begins long-awaited overhaul. Libra rebrands to Diem in anticipation of 2021 launch. First mover, Bitcoin's failure to break $20,000 shows big investors only just arriving. Now let's get started. Crypto wallet Maker Ledger hires luxury brand exec to grow consumer business. Cryptocurrency hardware wallet provider Ledger has hired a luxury brand executive in a bid to build a better user experience for its products and services. As reported by the Financial Times on Monday, former LVMH digital lead Ian Rogers has joined the French startup as its chief experience officer and will lead its mission to expand consumer business and increasing cryptocurrency adoption. LVMH is a French group specializing in luxury goods and boasting some of the world's biggest retail names as subsidiaries. Rogers was responsible for increasing the digital presence of globally known brands, including Louis Vuitton, Givenchy, Christian Dior, Bulgari and Tag Heuer. When I look at cryptocurrency, privacy and security, I have a similar feeling I did about music in the early 2000s at the beginning of the streaming era, Rogers told the FT. Prior to his work at LVMH, Rogers spent time at Apple where he helped the tech giant implement and roll out its music streaming service. While Rogers has officially left the luxury conglomerate, he said he would remain as an advisor on its digital initiatives and operate an annual competition for luxury and fashion known as the LVMH Innovation Award. PayPal-backed identity platform acquired by Nevada's Blockchains LLC. An identity management provider backed by PayPal, Foxconn and others has been acquired by Nevada-based holding company Blockchains LLC. Cambridge blockchain principals Matthew Commons, Alex Oberhauser, Mutu Urumugam and the firm's software developers will join Blockchain's digital identity team, with complete integration targeted for the beginning of 2021. The financial terms of the deal were not made public. The acquisition, announced Tuesday, is all geared towards the release of an unhosted wallet around April of next year, said Blockchain's Executive Vice President Lee Weiss. We reached out to Cambridge and had discussions with them, and it was clear that we shared a common ethos, said Weiss. We ended up making a deal and the transaction closed last week and we're thrilled that they've already started with us, right after Thanksgiving. Cambridge's expertise in areas like biometrically secure credentialing and document provenance will all feed into the wide-ranging plans of Blockchains LLC, the owner of some 67,000 acres of land in Nevada with designs on a smart city development of sorts. In June of last year, Blockchains acquired Ethereum ETH, plus 2.11%, startup Slock.it, whose founders Christoph and Simon Gents became Blockchains Vice President of Technology and Director of Blockchain Development, respectively. A spokesperson for PayPal Ventures declined to comment on the Cambridge blockchain acquisition. Google searches for Bitcoin price hit 18-month high. General interest in Bitcoin looks to have risen alongside the top cryptocurrencies rally to a new peak price. As of last week, Google Trends, a barometer for gauging general or retail interest in trending topics, returned a value of 21 for the worldwide search query Bitcoin, BTC, minus 0.06% price. That's over double the value of 10 observed roughly a month ago and the highest level since June 2019. Bitcoin set a new record high of $19,850 on Monday, having narrowly missed the previous lifetime high of $19,783 last week. The cryptocurrency surged over 40% in November to register its biggest monthly gain since May 2019. What makes Bitcoin's ascent more impressive is that traditional assets seldom chart a 40% rally to record highs in a single month. However, the market is far from being in a state of retail frenzy seen in December 2017, when the Google search for the term Bitcoin price returned a maximum value of 100. The data may validate analysts who say this year's rally is mainly driven by increased institutional participation. Several public listed companies such as MicroStrategy, Square, Cypherpunk Holdings have bought Bitcoin in the wake of the coronavirus crisis in the global economy, strengthening Bitcoin's appeal as a reserve asset. PayPal has also started offering cryptocurrency services, possibly driving a Bitcoin supply shortage. The differences between 2020's run toward $20,000 and 2017's is that this current one is against a backdrop of greater geopolitical chaos, increased adoption but less general audience interest and less new coin supply. Clem Chambers, founder and CEO of financial markets website advfn.com, told CoinDesk in an email. Many observers expect institutions to power more substantial gains over the long run. We believe we have just scratched the surface. Arjun Subbaraj, co-founder and CEO of cryptocurrency exchange Geodis, said in an email. We will have the mother of all bull runs in 2021 when the cryptocurrency gets adopted by masses and cryptocurrencies go mainstream. According to Chambers, Bitcoin will sail through $20,000, and the sky's the limit in the long term. Traditional and non-financial media widely reported $20,000 as the record high back in December 2017. As such, a notable rise in retail interest may not be seen until prices establish a foothold above that level. At press time, the cryptocurrency is changing hands at $19,593, up 5% over 24 hours. Coinbase brokered MicroStrategy's $425 million Bitcoin purchase, exchange says. U.S. cryptocurrency platform Coinbase facilitated MicroStrategy's $425 million Bitcoin buy earlier this year, the exchange said. In an announcement Tuesday, Coinbase revealed that MicroStrategy's initial $250 million investment, which occurred over a five-day period in August, came via Coinbase Prime, the exchange's crypto brokerage arm formed following the acquisition of Tagomi in May. That was followed up in September by a further $175 million investment from the Virginia-based business intelligence firm, bringing MicroStrategy's total investment to $425 million in Bitcoin, BTC, minus 1.63%. MicroStrategy became the first publicly traded company to acquire a large chunk of Bitcoin to hold on its balance sheet as a primary treasury reserve asset. In retrospect, on-chain data suggests Coinbase was transacting with a large customer in the months leading up to MicroStrategy's August announcement. A series of large quantities of Bitcoin, nearly 80,000 in total, began moving out of Coinbase Pro's reserve starting in the middle of the year and ending in the autumn. Those outflows went to Coinbase custody wallets, interoperated with OTC wallets, not exchange wallets, explained Ki-Young Ju, CEO of analytics firm CryptoQuant, adding that Coinbase usually uses 8,000 BTC to make an initial custody wallet and requiring a minimum custody deposit of $10 million. Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy's CEO, did not respond to CoinDesk's request for comment by press time. Coinbase's announcement quoted him from an earlier MicroStrategy press release as saying that investing in Bitcoin is part of the firm's new allocation strategy. The strategy aims to maximize long-term value for shareholders while reflecting the cryptocurrency's use as a store of value with greater appreciation potential than holding cash. In Tuesday's announcement, Coinbase outlined three reasons why MicroStrategy chose the San Francisco-based exchange: the firm's smart order routing, trading algorithms, and white glove service. Coinbase also said it had been involved in several pre-trade calls with the firm during the onboarding process and was asked to conduct a small test trade. The test trade assessed data gathered from Coinbase and was analyzed by the exchange's OTC and coverage teams. When an optimal pace to minimize market impact was decided upon and successfully executed, Coinbase received a green light from MicroStrategy to proceed with the larger investment. Following the test, Coinbase executed real-time trades using the time-weighted average price algorithm, a strategy that takes into account the average price of an asset over a specified time to minimize market impact. Our system takes a single large order and breaks it into many small pieces that are executed across multiple trading venues, Coinbase said via email. The trading team achieved an average execution price that was less than the price at which buying started. The revelation is a notable public relations win for Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong following a weekend New York Times article alleging mistreatment of black employees and several service outages during volatile market periods. Armstrong's exchange can now claim bragging rights in the market as the one that helped a publicly listed company take a nine-figure leap of faith on Bitcoin as a reserve asset. BlockFi announces early 2021 launch for Bitcoin Rewards credit card. Cryptocurrency lender BlockFi has taken its first step in the payments space. The New York City-based company, known for its lending operation, interest-bearing crypto products and trading desk, announced Tuesday it will launch its long-awaited Bitcoin BTC, -0.40% rewards credit card in the first quarter of next year. CEO Zach Prince said the credit card will be the first of its kind in an industry that is already saturated with Bitcoin reward debit cards. A lot of the debit cards that exist in the crypto ecosystem are the kind that are oriented around this idea of spending your crypto, which at least clients at BlockFi are not interested in doing, Prince told CoinDesk in an interview. They want to hold their Bitcoin and earn a yield on it. While BlockFi is working on functionality that will allow users to pay down their BlockFi credit card debt with crypto, Prince said the company will encourage customers to use the card for everyday spending, not for racking up debt. The interest rates on BlockFi's loans are much better than the annual percentage rates on the credit card, Prince added. Read more: Coinbase to launch crypto debit card in US for retail spending. The crypto lender is putting out the new product about a quarter behind schedule because of how many of its partner organizations had to work from home due to the COVID-19 pandemic. You have to work with quite a few partners to bring a credit card to market, Prince told CoinDesk in August of this year. Some of them haven't really handled the transition from being fully in office to being fully remote as smoothly as companies like BlockFi have. Visa is acting as the card issuing network. Evolve Bank and Trust provides the bank identification number, BIN, that allows BlockFi to connect to the payments network, and Deserve is managing the payments flow technology. BTC-backed, the card spends dollars but earns rewards in Bitcoin. The rewards back are 1.5% of fiat purchases, and the Bitcoin users receive as deposited into their BlockFi accounts. The annual fee for the card is $200. For the first year, BlockFi is giving users who spend at least $3,000 on the card in the first 3 months a stipend of $250. The revenue for BlockFi will be one part interchange fee, which will be split between customer rewards and revenue, and another part annual fee, Prince added. This will add payments revenue as a category on the balance sheet, Prince said. Payments generally is a revenue type that gets pretty healthy multiples in capital markets. Read more. BlockFi raises $50 million from universities, NBA star, others as crypto lending soars. Since the credit card is a premium Visa card, BlockFi plans to offer more credit and debit cards in the future that are also tied to customers' crypto accounts. Prince also said he envisions a future where customers can deposit their paychecks into a BlockFi account, send remittances with BlockFi, and do bill pay and other regular banking activities as well. We're not announcing what we're going to do in year two yet, Prince said. We intend, like we're doing in year one, to make it as much of a no-brainer decision as we can for folks to hold the card. Prince couldn't give exact credit limit ranges, but expects to see limits vary from $5,000 on the low end to $25,000 on the high end, depending on the creditworthiness of the customer. Ethereum 2.0 Beacon Chain goes live as World Computer begins long-awaited overhaul. Serenity is knocking. The first stage of the next-generation proof-of-stake (PoS) Ethereum 2.0 is now live as of 12 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time Tuesday, according to Beaconsha.in. A generalized blockchain for decentralizing computer-based applications from iPhone games to government bonds ETH 2.0 has been under construction since the genesis of the current proof-of-work (PoW) network in 2015. Tuesday's launch concludes the opening act, or phase zero, of Ethereum's consensus mechanism transition, which will see the network whose native cryptocurrency, Ether, is worth $70 billion by market cap fundamentally change how it settles payments while in motion. The launch of the Beacon Chain is a huge accomplishment and lays the foundation for Ethereum's more scalable, secure, and sustainable home, Ethereum Foundation researcher Danny Ryan told CoinDesk in an email. There is still much work to do, but today we celebrate. The Beacon Chain will be the backbone of a new Ethereum blockchain, a network intended to keep pace with PayPal (PYPL) and Visa (V) in terms of processing speed, while rivaling them in terms of transparency and payment finality. ETH 2.0 has at least two more technical hurdles to hit its ever-moving timeline, dynamically breaking the PoS Ethereum blockchain into multiple datasets called shards and adopting rollups, a throughput solution for decentralized applications (DApps). The Beacon Chain's near-term functionality is quite limited. Like the handful of testnets before it, participants in ETH 2.0 now help store and manage the registry of validators, according to Ethereum infrastructure provider Consensus. Yet, accounts and transfers remain locked until at least phase 2 while the ETH 1.x blockchain continues in parallel. In other words, ETH 2.0 won't be usable for paying your electric bill until 2022 at the earliest. Ethereum History 201. Ethereum is the creation of Russo-Canadian developer Vitalik Buterin, also the founder of Bitcoin Magazine and member of multiple early alternative currency projects such as Mastercoin. First announced in 2013 at a Bitcoin conference in Miami, Florida, Buterin envisioned a network capable of leveraging Bitcoin's blockchain architecture for purposes larger than just a digital currency, well outside the bounds of pseudonymous Bitcoin developer Satoshi Nakamoto's original intent. As demonstrated in his early writings on the subject, Buterin argued a PoS consensus mechanism would be central to this new type of blockchain. Buterin has long held that PoS offers higher security guarantees in the long term than Bitcoin's mining-based PoW blockchain. Many Ethereum developers also favor PoS over Bitcoin's PoW due to environmental concerns. Under the auspices of the Ethereum Foundation, ETH 2.0's central specification written by Buterin and other developers was coded into multiple programming languages in what are called clients. The decision to program ETH 2.0 into multiple languages remains a chief reason for its patient advance towards launch. Indeed, Ethereum developers have shifted timelines throughout the last 5 years to many investors' frustration. Launching the Beacon Chain. Tuesday's launch, however, is the culmination of not only years of sustained blockchain research, but a more recent push goaded by investor anxiety. A perceived lack of development reached a fevered pitch this past summer as further delays put the Beacon Chain's 2020 launch in question. The Ethereum community's expectations were loud and clear, Ethereum Foundation researcher Justin Drake said in a July tweet, setting phase zero genesis in 2020 as the goal. As of Tuesday, that goal has been met. A flurry of client activity followed Drake's tweet in preparation for a mainnet launch, the Medalla testnet on July 22, followed by Spadina and Zinkin in late September and early October, concluding with Pyrmont's deployment on November 18. The long-awaited deposit contract for ETH 2.0 was released November 4 by the Ethereum Foundation after one further October delay, with a targeted genesis date of December 1. For once, Ethereum was on time. In order to launch, the deposit contract needed 524,288 ETH 7 days before the Genesis date. Although large quantities of ETH were put into the contract, including some $1.4 million by Buterin himself, it took the better part of 2 weeks to fill the contract. However, the contract's conditions were satisfied November 23, nearly 6 years to the day of Ethereum's first DevCon conference in Berlin, developer Lefteris Karapetses pointed out on Twitter. A final week gave clients an additional buffer to adjust any last-minute specifications. As of publication, 880,992 ETH worth some $542.7 million is currently locked in the deposit contract, according to CoinDesk price data. Libra rebrands to Diem in anticipation of 2021 launch. The Libra Association put together by Facebook last year is rebranding in further efforts to distance itself from the original Facebook-led vision rolled out last year. The group, composed of 27 member firms, announced Tuesday it was changing its name to Diem, the Latin term for day, as it gears up for the potential 2021 launch of a single, dollar-pegged stablecoin. The organization has also finalized its leadership team, which includes Dalia Malki as Chief Technology Officer, Christy Clark as Chief of Staff, Steve Bunnell as Chief Legal Officer and Kieran Raj as Executive Vice President for Growth and Innovation and Deputy General Counsel. The new hires join the previously announced CEO Stuart Levy, Managing Director James Emmett, Chief Compliance Officer Sterling Danes, Chief Financial Officer Ian Jenkins and General Counsel Samau Abavsar. Social media giant Facebook unveiled Libra in June 2019 after over a year of secretive development and research work. At the time, the project envisioned a stablecoin backed by a basket of fiat currencies, one that could be used worldwide as a means of exchange. It immediately prompted international regulatory backlash, with lawmakers demanding that all development cease until they could better understand it, provide some level of regulatory oversight and ensure there were no risks to financial stability. A number of its original members departed, mainly financial services firms citing regulatory risks, before Libra could even get started. Libra's governing body, which was formally created in November 2019, later tightened the scope of the project, announcing in April 2020 that it would launch a group of stablecoins that were each backed by a single fiat currency or asset instead of the basket-backed token. Levy believes regulators are warming up to the project, particularly through the changes in the implied distance from Facebook, which wasn't named in Tuesday's press release, which isn't itself a member of the governing association, though its subsidiary Novi, formerly Calibra, is. Another founding member includes Breakthrough Initiatives, a space exploration group run in part by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. I think regulatory stakeholders really are welcoming a more autonomous association. They want to see an association strong enough to make its own decisions and have a leadership team that is capable of directing the project. It is in part for that reason we decided to change the name, to move from Libra to Diem, and that will be effective Tuesday, he told CoinDesk. Libra is ready to launch its first stablecoin, the Diem Dollar, as soon as the new entity is licensed through the Swiss Financial Market Supervisory Authority, FINMA. The Financial Times first reported that a dollar-pegged coin could launch last week. Levy declined to provide a timeframe, noting that FINMA will make its decision in its own time. Launching coins. Diem's coin, when it launches, will be compliant with international regulations at the protocol level, Levy said. He said this means that compliance with regulations such as the Financial Action Task Force's travel rule will be baked into the network, as will other features like consumer protection. That then brings you back to the question of why change the name. One of the reasons is that the original name, I think, was tied to an earlier iteration of the project that saw a difficult reception from regulators around the world and we've changed the proposition dramatically, Levy said. The organization is still engaging with regulators worldwide to clarify how widely each token can circulate and which fiat currency the next coin will be pegged to. Levy said a number of factors will go into these considerations, including the comfort level of regulators. The project is ready to launch at a technical level, though developers are continuing to test and iterate on the design, Levy said. And while the project has evolved in scope since its unveiling, it still uses a blockchain. We think that there are technological and governance advantages from having a blockchain. It permits innovation and collaboration in the open source space that we think adds real potential to the overall project. It adds collaboration and innovation, and frankly, one of the things I love about it is thorough use cases developed and innovations that we at the Diem Libra Association would never have thought of ourselves, he said. International remittances and merchant payments are still the two primary use cases that the project is eyeing at the moment. And while Levy said he doesn't feel a particular sense of urgency around launching a basket-backed stablecoin, he can see that being a possibility in the distant future. We would aspire to issue other single currency stablecoins over time, and then we wouldn't issue a multi-currency stablecoin, but this is the beauty of programmable money. You can create a multi-currency stablecoin, if we have a certain number of individual single currency stablecoins out there, he said. First mover, Bitcoin's failure to break $20,000 shows big investors only just arriving. Bitcoin was lower, retreating after rallying over the past 24 hours to a new all-time high price of $19,920, based on CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. Cryptocurrency analysts predicted bullish traders might next target the $20,000 threshold, though the market could struggle to break through if large potential holders choose to take profits at that level. The resistance into $20,000 could be more psychological than anything else, said Denis Vinokourov, head of research at the digital asset prime broker Bequant. It would make sense that once we are finally able to get past this threshold, that the rally has legs. In traditional markets, European shares rose, led by banks and energy firms, and U.S. stock futures pointed to a higher open on the first day of the final month of a tumultuous 2020. Gold strengthened 1.2% to $1,798 an ounce. Market moves. All sorts of reasons were cited Monday as Bitcoin pushed to a new all-time high, ranging from PayPal's PYPL recent entry into the space to the collective market shrug in response to the massive outflows from the OKEx cryptocurrency exchange following after a five-month withdrawal suspension was lifted. What's clear is that most analysts, traders and industry executives are talking about the sudden influx of big investors and Wall Street firms nosing into Bitcoin and digital asset markets for the first time. As noted Monday in First Mover, institutional adoption has become among the buzziest of buzzwords from Bitcoin bulls and marketeers. The key driver of their interest appears to be the desire for a hedge against inflation. During a year when the deep economic toll from the coronavirus has prompted the U.S. Federal Reserve and other central banks to pump trillions of dollars of emergency liquidity and monetary stimulus global financial markets. With so much excess liquidity in the system, the original investment case for Bitcoin is being vindicated. Rich Rosenblum, who heads trading at the crypto firm GSR, told CoinDesk's Daniel Kari. On Monday, just before Bitcoin prices began their single-day price climb of 8.3% to end the month, the market was filled with chatter about a new endorsement from an analyst at the $631 billion investment firm AllianceBernstein. I have changed my mind about Bitcoin. Later in the day, CNBC reported that strategists for another Wall Street firm, BTIG, said cryptocurrency had come of age, and that Bitcoin should reach $50,000 by the end of next year. The stream of institutions commenting and allocating to BTC became a flood of good news that reinforced the narrative. Matt Blum, head of sales and trading at the cryptocurrency-focused financial firm Diginex, told subscribers in an email. CoinDesk's Muyao Shen reported that support from institutional investors might help to sustain the latest rally, contrasted with the bull run of 2017 when prices briefly touched these levels before quickly tumbling and then hibernating in a bear market for most of 2018. Broadly speaking, institutional positions and high-net-worth individuals are leading the way this time, Jason Dean, an analyst at Quantum Economics, told Decrypt. Another difference from 2017 is that digital asset markets appear to have evolved dramatically in the past few years and appeared to have handled the recent uptick in intensity and transaction volumes without too many glitches. The well-trod fiat to cryptocurrency on-ramp Coinbase did report delays in processing some Bitcoin withdrawals due to network congestion. The trading, settlement and custody services are all far more sophisticated and mature, which instills confidence, GSR's Rosenblum said. Major spot exchanges, where retail customers casually buy the world's oldest cryptocurrency, have seen an uptick. Combined daily volume for Coinbase, Bitstamp, Kraken, Gemini and Itbit was at $1.5 billion as of press time Monday, much higher than the $488 million average of the past 6 months, CoinDesk's Dan Carey reported. Jeff Dorman, chief investment officer at Aka Funds, wrote in his weekly blog that some big investors, due to regulatory concerns, might be using futures on U.S. commodities exchanges or publicly traded investment vehicles in traditional stock markets to gain exposure to Bitcoin instead of just jumping into digital asset markets. He provided a chart showing how key closures on public U.S. markets over the past week coincided with big swings in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week cryptocurrency markets. The institutions are coming all right, but they are taking the local bus while the rest of us are on the express, Dorman wrote. The upshot is that Bitcoin is reaching new all-time highs when institutional adoption hasn't even really got going, in the truest sense. Bitcoin's one-month implied volatility has risen to 6.5-month highs, reflecting increased expectations of price turbulence over the next 4 weeks. According to data source Skew, the metric influenced by demand for call and put options has increased to 89%, the highest level since May 18, having bottomed out near 44% in September. The doubling of implied volatility has happened alongside Bitcoin's rally from $10,000 to $19,920 and looks to have been caused by relatively higher demand for call options bullish bets. That's evident from the record low 1, 3 and 6 month put call skews, which measure the cost of puts bearish bets relative to calls. The options market looks positioned for a continued rally. Some analysts say a healthy pullback could be in the offing as Bitcoin's inflow to exchanges has exceeded outflows since the Thanksgiving sell-off, according to data source CryptoQuant. That on-chain metric could indicate a short-term bearish trend, sending Bitcoin back to a level of around $16,000, said Ki-Yong Ju, chief executive officer of CryptoQuant. At press time, Bitcoin is trading near $18,800, representing a 4% drop on the day. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.